I'm not home and me want to go home. Now, where have you heard that before? At the Amway Center, correct? At the Amway Center. I mean, here, you think about it. Do you know that the capacity of the Amway Center is 20,000 people? I mean, did you have any idea? I didn't know how many people went in. But 20,000 people. And somewhere in the midst of it, a disc jockey sort of pulls that whole community or most of that community together by simply playing songs like Deo. You know, I started to think about that. 20,000 people in the Amway Center. That's the capacity. You know, today in the gospel we have the feeding of the 5,000. But the truth of the matter is, here in the Gospel of John it says, and Jesus fed the 5,000, and there were 5,000 there. In Mark and in Luke it says, and there were 5,000 men. In Matthew, the same story says, there are 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, the biblical sociology, Melissa McKenna, once said that if there were women and children there, there would be at least 5 to 1, that's children and women, to every man. 5 to 1 or 6 to 1, which would have put the number at, you know, 25,000 plus. Let's just say it was 4 to 1. It was a smaller family. 4 to 1, that's 20,000 people. So the people that Jesus had following them were the same volume as you would see if you went to a Magic basketball game. What would that be like? I mean, think about it. 20,000 people. And you know the story. I mean, you've heard it. You hear it all the time because, to tell you the truth, we get it every year because we go through all four Gospels, and this is one story is in all four Gospels. And the story goes like this. Jesus, after he's done many miracles, healed a lot of the sick, is trying to get away, to be honest with you, to rest out in the wilderness, trying to get off to a mountainside with his disciples, to get away. Don't forget, Jesus has sent out his disciples, you know, to go 2 by 2 and to heal the sick and, you know, be there and preach the good news for the people. And he's got to get his people away to get some rest. But every time he goes to get rest, what happens? They stalk him. They go out and they find him. And here again, Jesus is out in the wilderness on a mountainside probably, trying to get rest, and the people start coming. First thing Jesus thinks to himself is, what are we going to feed all these people? It's getting late. What are we going to feed these people? And all of a sudden, Philip, you know, when he asks the question, which, by the way, the scripture says clearly, he asks the question, how are we going to feed all these people? But he already knows the answer. Philip answers, though, well, look, 6 months' wages. Wouldn't he give all these people even a little morsel? 6 months' wages. It's not, you know, I mean, that's a lot. Then Andrew, who, beyond, between you and me, I think Andrew is always the most undersold of all the apostles. Andrew comes and looks and says, well, there's a boy here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Barley loaves are small. I mean, they're like rolls, okay? And the fish, well, some people even say they were sardines. Okay, maybe it just makes the story better. I don't know. But there's a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring them to me. And they bring the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And it says, first Jesus says, get the people to sit down in groups. Get them out there. Sit them down. In other words, let's get this place organized. Then he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and it says that he prays over them, giving thanks, and they're multiplied. And he sends them out, and only people that are sitting down can receive food, it says. Feed the ones who are sitting down. He feeds the ones who are sitting down, and everybody's satisfied. And they pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, you've gone from 1 basket carrying 5 loaves and 2 fish to getting 12 baskets of leftovers. You know, it's a really neat story, isn't it? But there's been a part that's bothered me most of my life. I mean, they're in the middle of nowhere. Who is this kid that shows up with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? I mean, let's put it on. They say he's a boy or he's a lad. That means probably that he's not 13 years old yet. Because, I mean, at 13, today I become a man, your bar mitzvah, okay? I grew up right next to a Jewish community called Colonia. Trust me, I knew a lot of kids that went through bar mitzvah, okay? Today I am a man, okay? So he's got to be probably somewhere around 10, maybe 11, maybe 12, maybe 9. Who knows? He's a boy, he's a lad. They would have referred to him as a young man otherwise. And it says that he comes out of nowhere. Well, you know what? If he's a boy and he's just tagging along, he's one of the kids out of the group, wouldn't he be playing with the other kids? Wouldn't he be playing with the other kids? And his mom would be carrying the food, not him. You know what I think? And I'm taking great license here today, okay? Just know that. I'm giving my own interpretation. But my gut is this kid lived out there. That this kid lived in the rural section, out in the middle of nowhere with maybe his mother and his father, I don't know, maybe some siblings, who knows. And he's out there, and all of a sudden, he looks out, and he sees this horde of people coming out. It's not just, you know, a person and a few, you know, friends walking through it. It's 20,000 people. There's people everywhere. And this kid, this boy, thinks to himself, oh my gosh, look at all these people. He runs to his mother and says, Mom, give me some bread, give me some fish, anything we got here. I'm going out there. I'm going to make a dollar. Don't forget, this kid's a Jewish kid, okay? He's going out there and he's thinking to himself, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make some money. I mean, think about your first job. I'm not talking about the first time that you ever sort of, you know, were a busboy. I'm not talking about where you're in. What was your first job? I mean, how many of you had jobs, you know, before you really got of age where you could have a job? How many of you ever sold lemonade in front of your house? Or had children or grandchildren who sold lemonade in front of your house? I mean, you remember what that's like? I was reminded of that the other day. I was walking my dogs and I came around the block and there was a friend of mine's kids out selling lemonade. And I walked up, I had no money, and I was walking the dogs and they were selling lemonade. And I looked at Jake's the little, you know, the boy, he's about 10 years old. And I looked at Jake and I said, I've got no money. And he goes, okay. And I said, well, I don't want it. You wait. Are you going to be here for a little while? He goes, yeah. I finished walking the dogs, went back. I got a $20 bill, came back. I looked at him, and I said, give me a lemonade. And he gave me the lemonade. I gave him the $20 bill. He goes, I don't have change for this. I said, I'll keep it. He shut down right there. That was all over. You know, he was done. I don't know what his goal was, but he made $20. It's probably more than he figured he was going to make. But, you know, can you imagine what Jake was thinking? I mean, when he set out there, he didn't go out and say, well, I have nothing to do today. I think I'll sell lemonade. I guarantee he was thinking to himself, what am I going to buy? What am I going to get? I'm going to sell this. I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll get a new bike, you know? Or if he was unselfish like this child who's, this kid, he's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, he's poorer than the folks coming out, and they're pretty poor. He's poor. He lives in the middle of nowhere. Maybe he thought to himself, Mom, if I make enough money selling these bar loaves, I can buy you a Mercedes chariot or something. You know, I mean, in his mind, think of what he was thinking. Just take a moment. All these dreams of what I could get. All these dreams of what could possibly happen if I, you know, just sell these. You know, I'll sell these five. Mom, keep baking. We're going to make a lot today. You know, we're going to become the miracle bread company. But what happens? Somewhere along the line, he runs into the apostles. Somewhere along the line, he runs into an apostle by the name of Andrew. Andrew is always welcoming. You know, a lot of people, like I say, I think he's undersold. I mean, if it wasn't for Andrew, Simon Peter would never have met Jesus. It wasn't for Andrew, you had never had the Greeks come in to meet Jesus. Andrew is bringing people to Jesus on a regular basis. Why? I think it's because when Andrew met you, you knew somebody had met you and cared about you. Didn't care about what you had, cared about you. There was a sense in Andrew that saw, I just want to know you. I just want to know you. And this boy, who may or may not have had a father, encounters Andrew, And then Andrew introduces him to Jesus. He's heard about Jesus, I guarantee it. Just walking in 5 minutes, he would have heard the stories. And all of a sudden, this young lad begins the process of having a transformational moment. Do you realize that you all have the possibilities to have transformational moments every day? Actually, in every moment. But how many of us really pay attention to it? A lot of us miss it. Why? Because we're so set on what we have for our agenda. We're so set on our dreams that sometimes we miss God's vision. We miss what God has for us in these moments. You know, when you have a transformational moment, things start to become different, don't they? You go not into change, but into transformation. And there's a difference between change and transformation. Change is where you say, you know, I'm not going to do it that way again. I'm going to change this. Transformation is where you let go and you let God. Transformation is where all of a sudden you just say, I'm not just going to change it, I'm letting it all go. You know, I would venture to guess for most of us, even when we get into forgiveness, we do forgiveness more on a change basis than on a letting go basis. We say, yes, we forgive you, but really what we're saying is, look, it is, I'm getting nowhere with this guy. I'm gonna forgive him, I'll say, but I'm changing. I just won't deal with him again. You know? I'm not trusting him again. You know, I'm not going to deal with them. In that sense, I've changed, but I'm not going to deal with them again. So I forgive them, yeah, because I'm not dealing with them again. We put on extenuating circumstances on forgiveness. But forgiveness is what? That's not. Forgiveness isn't that. Forgiveness is when we say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. Doesn't mean you stuff all your intelligence and say, you know, well, by God, you know, everything's perfectly correct, you know, but it means I'm going to let go of it. It means you start to live in the moment and you look at the person through new eyes. And it may mean that you start a new relationship over and over again. It may be a different type of relationship than you had before, but you start a relationship, you don't just simply start a business kind of deal. You let go of it. You look at the person through the eyes of Jesus and say, let me look at his potential. Let me look at her potential. Let me look at what it is. And we let it go. Most of us can't do that. You know why? Because we live in two periods of time, both of which we can't really live in. We either live in the past or we live in the future. How much time do you spend up here where you're rehashing the things over and over and over again? Or you're up here thinking about, what am I going to do as soon as Father Jim shuts up? You know, you put it out there. But really, where's the moment that you're got to be in? You got to be in the present, because that's where God is. God is in the present. And we've got to live in the present to have a transformational moment. But most of us would rather orchestrate our own futures and our own pasts. We want to rewrite our own past. We want to write a new future instead of listening to the vision of what God has for us. There's an old saying that says, the way we do anything is probably the way we do everything. And think about that. How many times has that happened to you? Where, you know, I mean, here we are in the moment. I'm trying to really stay there. I'm trying to talk to this person, but while I'm talking to him, I'm thinking about everything I don't like about this person or everything I want this person to do for me or whatever, and I'm really not listening to him. How many times have you gone into a situation? Oh, I've been through this road before. I know exactly the way it's going to go. I have it all written down. This is the way it's going to go. Well, if you have a new relationship with the person, then maybe it won't go that way. But how many of us miss the actual present, the actual potential of what's going to be there, the actual part of being with God, because we're living too much in the past or we're living so much in the future? How much are you right here, right now? Because the truth of the matter is, if you live in the present and you are in relationship with God, letting go and letting him do what he needs to do, then you don't have to worry about going to heaven because you're already in heaven. You're already there. But it's a process of letting go. Here's this little boy. We don't even know his name. It might have been Harry Rosenblum, because he grew up the next neighborhood over from me. We have this young lad, and what does he want? He wanted to have this vision, this dream of what he could make off this great crowd. And then all of a sudden, he realized that he was part of the inner circle of Jesus. There's no money that is taken in the transaction. Nothing says anything was given. Because I believe this little boy, this lad, like you and me, had a transformational moment and said, I don't want to make money off this, but I want to be a part of it. Let me give it away. And in the process, that little boy probably lived the rest of his life in a different way than you could possibly ever imagine. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What are you saying? Well, I changed, but really, you might have changed in how you dealt with it, but you didn't let go of it. What is it that you need to let go? So that you can embrace the communion and contentment that God has for you in the moment. Think how tomorrow will be if today you live here, right where you're supposed to live. Think what tomorrow will bring if you learn to teach yourself that the way you do anything today is the way you'll learn to do everything in the future. Don't kick it down the road. Do it now. Be with God in the moment and trust Him. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.